Welcome to Whiskey Cask, Cask Strength Conversation, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 331 for August 27th, 2011. Coming up in a few minutes.
Last year's attendance for the festival was over 50,000, coming from 40 states and 13 countries.
That's Linda Harrison, the executive director of the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, which is just 3 weeks away. By then, we might actually have all the mess from Hurricane Irene cleaned up. I'll have more with Linda in a few minutes, along with the calendar of events, the comments of the week, and the What I'm Tasting This Week department. First off, let's look at the week's news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Four Roses traditionally unveils one of its limited edition bourbons each year at the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, and this year's small batch limited edition will be released in mid-September. It features four of the 10 recipes Four Roses master distiller Jim Rutledge uses. They're aged between 11 and 13 years. The batch is being bottled at barrel strength. I received a sample of it this week. I'll have tasting notes for it later in this episode. Remember the Dalmore Trinitas, the three-bottle release last autumn in which the first two bottles sold for 100,000 pounds each? That left one remaining bottle. Got word this week that it's been sold at Harrods in London for £120,000. That's about $196,000. No word on who bought the bottle. In the meantime, there's a new Dalmore expression that's slightly easier to get. 450 bottles of the Dalmore Distillery Exclusive will be available at the distillery in Ulness, north of Inverness. It's a single cask bottling from 1991, bottled at 46% ABV. 200 of the 450 bottles have already been pre-ordered at £150 each. Quarter cask barrels have become popular in recent years, but a new quarter cask bottling from Benriach is unusually rare. That's because the firkin was filled in 1978 and produced just 40 bottles when it was emptied earlier this year. The cask was discovered in one of Benriach's warehouses. It's one of only two firkins known to have been filled at Benriach. The 32-year-old single malt has been bottled at 40.1% ABV. It'll be available in September. Meanwhile, Benriach is also releasing 12 new single cask bottlings ranging from 18 to 40 years old, including a 1976 sherry butt that came out at a whopping 57.8% ABV. Benriach's sister distillery, Glendronach, is also releasing six new single casks. They range in age from 17 to 40 years old. Meanwhile, Glenglassaugh is also releasing the first of what it's calling the Chosen Few single cask series. The distillery's 10-member staff is selecting the casks, which range from new casks laid down after the distillery reopened in 2008, to some of the vintage casks laid down by previous managers. The first cask was selected by sales manager Ronnie Rutledge. It's a 1976 sherry butt bottled at 35 years old at 49.6% ABV. Just 654 bottles are available at a suggested price of around £300 each, or about $490. In business news, Glenmorangie Company Managing Director Paul Neep has retired after 14 years in charge. LVMH has promoted Chief Operating Officer Paul Skipworth to succeed Neep. He's been the COO at Glenmorangie since 2009. Meanwhile, the final step in the breakup of Fortune Brands will take place on October 3rd. That's when the company's home improvement and security systems unit will be spun off as a separate company after the markets close. Starting October 4th, Fortune will become known as Beam Inc., based on the current Beam Global Spirits and Wine unit. Earlier this year, I mentioned the second edition of the Make It at Bushmills competition, in which Bushmills master distiller Colm Egan planned to select two people to work at the distillery and then take Bushmills on a tour to their home country. The winners have been announced following the second edition of the Bushmills Bush Camp. Jonathan Olaf and Sean Tickner of South Africa will get to make their own unique blend of Bushmills during their 2 weeks at the distillery. Meanwhile, at the other end of the globe, the team of Arctic explorers on Old Pulteney's Row to the Pole expedition have reached their goal of rowing 450 miles from Canada's Resolute Bay to the magnetic North Pole. It took 4 years of planning and just under a month of rowing for Jock Wishart and his six-man crew to make the trip. The team was pinned down by ice and winds during the mission. They literally dragged their boat the final 3 miles across the ice to reach the pole. Finally, McTeers held its latest whiskey auction this week in Glasgow. The top bids were for a Johnnie Walker Blue Label 200th Anniversary decanter and a Springbank 50-year-old. Both went for £1,200 each. £1,100, the top bid for a 35-year-old Highland Park bottling specially produced for John McLeod Goodwin's retirement party, and £1,000 for a three-bottle lot of vintage Laphroaig 10-year-olds. And since I mentioned the old Pulteney North Pole expedition, there was one unique bottle at the McTeers auction. It was the Everest 40-year-old blended scotch that was taken to the Mount Everest base camp as part of the British 40th anniversary Everest expedition. It sold for £750. The next McTeers whiskey auction is set for September 28th. And that's the news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Visit the Glenmorangie USA Facebook page for your chance to win a trip to the distillery and to stay at the Glenmorangie House. Glenmorangie, unnecessarily well-made. A couple of program notes now. First off, a correction from the last episode. I made a big mistake on the location of malt stock. It's being held in the Netherlands, not Belgium. My apologies. Second, a few weeks ago I gave you a tease of the new WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings podcast. It's a new monthly show featuring WhiskeyCast community members tasting and scoring the same whiskeys via Skype. The debut episode is now available through the WhiskeyCast website. It'll be available in the iTunes Music Store in the next few days. I'll post a note on the Facebook page when it's available through iTunes. If you'd like to be part of the panel for a future episode, just email me. The address is comments@whiskeycast.com. Now for the comments of the week, brought to you this time around by Highland Park. Heard from Jim Manley this week. Mark, really enjoy the podcast since I stumbled upon it a few weeks ago. I'm meeting some colleagues at a conference in Louisville, Kentucky at the end of September. I introduced several of them to the joys of single malt whiskey at a conference in Vegas last month. I was wondering if you know of any good whiskey bars in the Louisville area. Slantcha, Jim Manley. Well, Jim, you're in luck. Louisville is home to the Urban Bourbon Trail. At last count, there are 11 bars and restaurants on the trail, including some of my favorites like Proof on Main and the bar at the old Sealback Hilton. They also have a good selection of scotches, too. I've posted a link at the WhiskeyCast website for you. Also heard from Elizabeth Lessard, one of the leaders of the Quebec Whiskey Club in Canada. She emailed to let us know about the club's new logo, which is a W with a pagoda over the point in the middle. The club's site also offers lots of good information in French for French-speaking whiskey lovers. Troy Hickson from Australia posted a note on the Facebook page. He's looking for a retailer in the Melbourne area that sells Suntory's Hibiki 12-year-old blended whiskey. I don't have a lot of experience with retailers in Australia, but I know there are a lot of WhiskeyCast community members down under. If you can help Troy out, please post a note on the Facebook page. Finally, it's been an interesting week with Hurricane Irene and the East Coast earthquake earlier this week. After I mentioned the earthquake on the Facebook page and the coming hurricane, I had several people offering to host my whiskey in a safer location, namely their homes. Alan Walker also posted this note. I'm imagining a Die Hard-style action shot of you throwing yourself under the stash. No need for that. My bottles survived the earthquake just fine. I did move a few of them away from the windows in my office for the hurricane, just in case we have any leaks. I do appreciate the offers, though. And if you have a comment, suggestion, or a question, you can always post it on our Facebook community page, or you can email me. My email address is comments@whiskeycast.com. And the comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Highland Park.
Hello, this is Jerry Tosh of Highland Park, the makers of the best spirit in the world. If you'd like to go onto the WhiskeyCast website and click on the banner, then it'll take you to the inner circle and sign up, and we'll send you as much information about Highland Park as you'd ever need to know.
Time now for the calendar of events brought to you by Laphroaig. John Campbell of Laphroaig will be the guest of honor at the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's vaults in Leith on the 31st. Whiskey Live Glasgow is this coming Saturday, September 3rd, along with the Brighton Whiskey Festival in England and the Cadenhead's 10th anniversary celebration in Cologne, Germany. The Whiskey Exchange Vinopolis store in London will host a tasting of the Woodford Reserve Masters Collection Series on September 5th. David Blackmore will lead a tasting of Ardbeg single malts at Keen's Steakhouse in New York City on the 7th. There are still tickets available for the Whiskey Guild's annual tasting cruise in New York City on the 8th. Malt Stock is coming up the weekend of September 9th through the 11th in Nijmegen, the Netherlands. Whiskey Live Paris is the weekend of September 24th through the 26th. And the Stockholm Beer and Whiskey Festival takes place over the weekends of September 29th through October 1st and October 6th through the 8th. Finally, Malt Advocates Whiskey Fest San Francisco is October 7th. You'll find a full calendar of events at the WhiskeyCast website. It's brought to you by Laphroaig. Visit the all-new Laphroaig website at laphroaig.com, where you can become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of island. September is Bourbon Heritage Month in the U.S., and one of the highlights each year is the Kentucky Bourbon Festival in Bardstown. This year's festival is special. It's the 20th anniversary for the Kentucky Bourbon Festival. I talked with Executive Director Linda Harrison this week about the festival and its origins.
20 years ago, it was the brainchild of the Tourism Department to educate the general public about bourbon and what all factions of bourbon and what the addition to the community was of the bourbon distillers and how much money that was brought into the community by workers and other items that go into making bourbon. So they began 20 years ago with a celebration of a black tie affair, which 250 people attended. And now we have culminated to over 1,200 people who come for a black tie affair on Saturday night.
But it's more than just that black tie affair. It really is a whole week of events in and all around central Kentucky, because it's spread out just past Bardstown, right?
Yes, it is. We celebrate six fabulous, fun-filled days. We start off on Tuesday night with a balloon glow. Last year's attendance for the festival was over 50,000, coming from 40 states and 13 countries, with Tuesday night having approximate attendance of between $2,000 and $3,000, to a fun-filled family evening of balloon glowing and music.
And describe what you mean by balloon glowing.
Well, that's when the balloons are tethered to the ground and they illuminate their canopies, and during the evening, as the sun sets and dusk begins to fall, they will fire and the hot air balloons, and they'll, you know, raise up. They're tethered to the ground, so they will raise up a little ways, and then they will come back down. And that we have music that accompanies the balloon glow, and they're introduced, and it's a spectacular sight to see.
And what else will be happening this week during the Bourbon Festival that's not necessarily bourbon-related? Because there's a lot of other stuff going on besides the whiskey events.
Well, there are. We're having whiskey involved in this, but it's a history, half a pint of whiskey and a shot of humor, which is a meander through the history of the Kentucky bourbon making, legends and otherwise. And there's that's kind of a historical tour at Wicklin, home of Three Governors. That's on Friday morning. There we have arts and crafts on the great lawn in front of Spalding Hall. There's barrel making, the world champion barrel relay will be held on Saturday afternoon at 11 to 3. We have music on the lawn Friday, Saturday, and on Sunday afternoon, starting at 1 o'clock, we'll have the Old Kentucky Home Cloggers, and at 2, we'll be having the finalists of the Kentucky Idol, which is a vocalist competition. There's just everyone, Ghostly Spirits, which is a opportunity to be led through the community by certified ghost specialist Patty Starr for a historic walk and talk about and hear the stories of ghost activities throughout Bardstown. So that's another bourbon unrelated activity. Civil War Museum. They're celebrating their 150th anniversary of the Civil War, and you'll be able to chat with Mary Todd Lincoln and other personalities and period actors of the Civil War, and there will also be a reenactment at the Civil War site.
Now let's talk about the bourbon, because you've got some new events this year, including one that's just for women, right?
Well, it is. It's just for girls, but the significant others are always welcome. You know how that is. Peggy Noe Stevens, our former master bourbon taster, will be describing the trends in bourbon and how it appeals to women, and sensory deep dive into the styles of bourbons and the different ways that they profile with foods and other items. So it's a very exciting opportunity for any individuals who are just beginning to start to appreciate bourbons.
And this is actually being organized by the Bourbon Women's Association, right?
Actually, it is organized by the Bourbon Women's Association is partnering with the Kentucky Bourbon Festival.
Now, what else will be going on besides the big event, the Black Tie Bourbon Tasting and Gala Saturday night? What all will people be able to do bourbon-wise? I know that the distilleries in the area offer special tours. There's a lot of unique and fun things going on during the entire week, right?
Absolutely. We have, starting on Wednesday night, you'll be able to meet the master distillers that belong to the KDA, which is Kentucky Distillers Association. Prior to that, there will be a mixed drink challenge. The mixed drink this year of the challenge is the Manhattan. You'll take the Manhattan and utilize your creativity and make it something unique and special to be. The grand champion will be next year's 2012 drink for the festival. So that's on Wednesday night. Thursday night, of course, it's a fabulous, fabulous evening of boots and bourbon. Kick up your heels that's sponsored by Wild Turkey Boots and Ride That Bull. On also, there's a Culinary Arts Bourbon Cooking School, which is sponsored by Jim Beam. Those two are going on simultaneously. Friday, of course, there are several items that are going on. Ever popular Cigars and Jazz, sponsored by Heaven Hill. And the lawn and the music downtown, which is open to the public and is free. We'll be starting on Friday at 5 o'clock. And there are several different things. Again, we have a bourbon cocktail mixology at 6 to 8 if you care to only go to a very small function. And that is Joy Perrine is a fabulous bartender, and she'll be mixing some drinks and telling you how to do infusions and different items that make your drinks special. And then we go on to Saturday when there's a fun run early of the morning. The barrel relay starts at 11 o'clock. There's hands-on activities. Poker run starts at 11 to 3. We've moved that to a Saturday afternoon. We'd love to have all the motorcycle riders come out. They ride 90 miles in beautiful countryside. They have three stops every 30 miles and draw for a poker hand. Let's see, what else? There is music on the lawn starts at 5 o'clock, and then there's also a sip and savor at 1 to 3 on Friday, which is a food pairings with some select bourbons paired to foods by our master chef for that, and that would be Matt Jamie of Bourbon Barrel Foods.
And this is really an event that brings all of the distilleries together, right?
The great gala does. That's the only time that it's a bourbon lover's dream is what it's been touted as. The only time you're ever going to have all the master distillers and bourbon ambassadors in one room together showcasing their products. And we only showcase bourbon-based or bourbon products.
Now, give me a sense, and we always talk about Bardstown as sort of the bourbon capital of the world, but give me a sense of just how critical the bourbon industry is to Bardstown and the entire area.
Well, that would be very difficult for me to say. I am right in the middle of Bardstown, and we are surrounded by several of the distilleries and then the outer line distilleries. Many individuals work here at the distilleries. They've had, you know, both parents work there. They've sent their kids to school there. You know, we as a bourbon festival have a scholarship that we give to a youth that's a senior that's graduated. The dollar that is spent, the tax dollars that come into the community by the distilleries being here in the county, the value would be insurmountable. I couldn't say.
And it's not just the economic impact, it's really the cultural impact. Without bourbon, life would be dramatically different there, wouldn't it?
Truly, truly. I am brought in from another state, and I can see a big difference and a big change is if the economy, if it was not here, what type of economy it would not be at all what we are. We are a very successful small community with a wonderful, warm, welcoming flavor, with a small town sense, with a great big heart and people, great Southern hospitality.
And speaking of that, I know we're still a couple of weeks, about 3 weeks away from the festival as we're recording this, but it is still possible to get tickets for some of these events and to actually visit Bardstown that festival week, right? There are still rooms available, things like that?
There are still some tickets available to some of the events. Yes, some of the events have already been sold out. We have people who come year to year who would not miss the festival. They take their vacation. We've had people plan their honeymoon around coming to the Bourbon Festival. So, but there are some tickets still available, and we are here in the office and gearing up for a fabulous festival again, 20 more years. Looking forward to it.
What are you planning for next year?
Oh, let's wait till September the 19th and start that.
There's a link to the Kentucky Bourbon Festival website at the Whiskey Cast website, and it's scheduled for September 13th through the 18th in Bardstown. Turning now to the What I'm Tasting This Week department, earlier I mentioned the Four Roses Limited Edition Small Batch Bourbon that will make its debut at the festival. Let's start off with a look at it. Again, it's made from 4 of the 10 recipes used at Four Roses. And while the proof will vary from bottle to bottle, my sample was bottled at 55.6% ABV. The nose has classic bourbon notes of vanilla, molasses, caramel, toasted oak, and brown sugar. The taste is intense and spicy with a black pepper blast that fades to reveal vanilla, caramel, and a hint of campfire smoke. The finish is sweet and lingering with vanilla and caramel. It's another winner for Jim Rutledge. I'm scoring the Four Roses 2011 Limited Edition Small Batch a 94. Last week I mentioned that the Isle of Skye 12-year-old blended scotch will be available soon in the U.S. for the first time. I received a sample of it this week. It's bottled at 43% ABV. The nose is smoky and complex with nice spices, including some nutmeg and a hint of cinnamon. There's a slight citrusy note that's hiding away in the background, too. The taste is spicy with cinnamon, hazelnut, nutmeg, and toasted oak with just a hint of brown sugar underneath. The finish is long and lingering with a nice spiciness. I'm giving the Isle of Skye 12-year-old a 90. Let's stick with the blended scotches and look at the Dewar's 18-year-old Founder's Reserve. It's bottled at 40% ABV. The nose is complex with notes of almonds, honey, butterscotch, and a touch of dark chocolate. The taste is creamy and smooth with a subtle dry touch, hazelnut, vanilla, and allspice notes, and a touch of honey underneath. The finish is dry and long with a touch of citrusy tartness. It's a complex and excellent whiskey. I'm scoring the Dewar's 18-year-old Founder's Reserve a 90. You'll find all of my tasting notes in the free WhiskeyCast smartphone apps for iPhone, iPad, and Android. The Apple version is brought to you by the Glenrothes, and the Android version is brought to you by Ben Romick. They're also available at the WhiskeyCast website, along with links for our Facebook community page and my Twitter feed, the photo gallery and print shop, the WhiskeyCast store powered by Amazon.com, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is WhiskeyCast.com, and my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com. WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2011. and comes to you from the charming, yet regrettably dry town of Haddonfield, New Jersey. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.